Today's focus scripture comes from the first chapter of Ephesians, and letters written long ago and selected for the biblical text hold quite a mystery, really, for us. Most scholars believe that this letter to the Ephesians was probably not written by Paul. The letter was most likely written by some of his apostles, some of the disciples after the generation of Jesus' death. Perhaps it was an introductory letter to all that Paul had done of all his letters that had been circulated. And it was probably not to a specific congregation, but was to be circulated among many churches. It was likely to be that letter passed along. It was probably written 70 to 90 years following Christ's death. And it proclaims that if we take time to notice the great plan of God bringing everything together in Christ was the intention. It was an ancient one, rooted before even the earth was created, Paul declares, or the writer. But it stretches into the future. So here's some of these words from 1 Ephesians as taken from the Message. I, Paul, under God's plan as an apostle, a special agent of Christ Jesus, writing to you faithful Christians in Ephesus, I greet you with the grace and the peace poured into our lives by God, our Creator, and our Master, Jesus Christ. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down the earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What a pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. Had a design for us, for glorious living, part of the overall purpose that He's working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the Christians, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and I'd give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. I ask God of our Master Jesus Christ to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing Him personally, your eyes focused, clear, and so that you may see exactly what it is that He's calling you to do. So grasp the immensity of this glorious way, the way of life He has for us as Christians, the utter extravagance of His work in us who trust Him. All this issues from Christ. The church is Christ's body in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. They would have been so thrilled to receive that letter, to hang on every word as it came around. Well, since July 2nd, You and I believe, along with much of the world, anxiously waited at the mouth of the cave. 12 boys from ages 11 to 16 and their coach, 25, set out to explore that Thailand cave on June 23rd. And they soon, as you know, became trapped by those heavy rains, which quickly flooded the passages. Divers finally located them on the 2nd. 4 boys were able to be taken out last Sunday in a complex diving operation. Another 4 on Monday. And you know, we sent up cheers when all 5, the last group, emerged on Tuesday, as well as the divers and finally the doctor. He was an Australian anesthetist who was also well known for his expert cave diving. For more than a week, millions of gallons of water were pumped out of that cave trying to combat the heavy rains. And the head of the Joint Command Center said that 18 divers and a support team of 100 took 9 hours in the first phase of the rescues on Monday, as opposed to the 11 hours on Sunday. Interviews with military personnel and officials detailed a Thailand cave rescue operation that was assembled from all over the world. It is said 10,000 people participated. 10,000, including 2,000 soldiers, 200 divers, which represented from 100 government agencies. It took plastic cocoons, floating stretchers, and a rope line that hoisted the players and the divers, coach over all the terrain. We now know that extracting them required long stretches of that underwater, bone-chilling temperatures, and several times the outlook was very dim. Reports continue to show us how challenging it really was. At a news conference on Wednesday, it was said the 17 days of Mission Possible would not be a success without the cooperation and the unity from the world. The key success is the unity that helped all of us reaching the goal without discrimination. And as I pondered that reality, I couldn't help but reflect on other challenging issues of our world and how unity could make all the difference. In this letter to the Ephesians, the author is urging those to whom he writes to consider what unites them. What does unite us with our brothers and sisters across the globe as those young boys were waiting in that cavern space so deep down below the earth? The father of the youngest member of the team soccer describes some of the experiences he had as he left the hospital. He said, "I started to cry, and everybody started to cry." He wanted to say thanks to all those who rescued his boy and helped him to have a new life. He said, "It's like rebirth." The father and the son, like the others, had corresponded by letter during that difficult week between himself and all the other boys. And divers braved this hours-long swim to ferry these messages between them, along with the letters from other teammates and relatives. The father said, "We wrote, you should be patient and willing to fight and be strong. I am waiting for you outside. You can make it. I believe you can make it." The boys wrote back, and these letters became a lifeline for the parents, for the boys, as well as, I think, all of us that were watching. You know, much of our history is through letters. Yet we're well aware that letters are very rare these days. Personal letters arriving in the mail do not come that often. Oh, there's that avalanche of advertisements, at least in my mailbox. More than enough catalogs that I try to stop. But personal letters have largely been replaced by email, Twitter, Facebook, and the like. The most recent survey, which I found, completed by the U.S. Post Office in 2014, revealed that the typical home received a personal letter about every 7 weeks. That was in 2014. 30 years ago, it was once every 2 weeks. So it goes without saying that letter writing is becoming extinct and is largely replaced by the internet. So that's why what we wanted you to see today, in fact, how many of you have seen the video? How many of you have actually seen it? Okay. Those of you that haven't, you'll see it next week, hopefully. But we have new ways of sharing about the church. New ways to share about Arlington Church of the Brethren through the very creative work of our information minister, Suzanne Lay, the creative minds of the search team. The video has now had 3,016 views as of last night, since its posting 12 days ago. So Debbie did some comparisons to help us visualize just how many people that is and how it compares to other traffic among the brethren. So 3,016 views. Well, the total number of persons at annual conference last week was 2,233. Now, the highest number of people who watched the annual conference service last Sunday morning was 1,117. The number of people who will attend National Youth Conference, our denominational youth event, this week in Colorado, starting Thursday, is 2,390. And for a local sense, the total capacity of the Kennedy Center Concert Hall is 2,454. Now, this morning I checked, and this message video from Arlington Church of the Brethren had 3,019 views. Now, maybe a couple of those might have been me to check on them again. But certainly, we're hopeful that this letter, this communication, will encourage someone to consider a call to be the next pastor of this congregation. Or perhaps to come and be part of this body of Christ. But it's hard to wait, to pray for the wisdom for the next steps. Perhaps I might challenge all of you to consider, how does the message of what is at the core of our life together continue to be communicated? The author of the letter to the Ephesians has this poetic flair to proclaim that Christ has adopted every one of us before the beginning of the world. The love and the grace was present, but through Jesus, that love has been made known in entirely new ways. And as the first chapter of the Ephesians conclude, the church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So how does Christ's love, which is to be at the core of our life together, become better known? How do you personally feel it? How do you sense that love? Or perhaps you feel like you're in a cave and you just can't quite wrap your heart around that encompassing love of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. This last Tuesday, Stan Mitchell, who is the lead pastor at Grace Point Church in Franklin, Tennessee, was checking in with a young college student that he'd been working with when this news came of the final extractions from the Thai cave. And of course, he said their conversation immediately shifted to celebrate this amazing news. As they reflected on the 18-day international drama, they marveled at the expertise and the bravery of the team that was responsible for saving all these boys' lives and the coach. They grieved the loss of the courageous SEAL divers earlier in the process. They talked about the sheer terror of the boys and their young coach, what it must have been like to be 2.5 miles in a pitch black cave that threatened to be their watery grave. Stan and the young man, who I'll call Sean, returned to their original conversation. And Stan asked Sean how his own saga of coming out to his family was going. The last time that they had talked, just a few days ago, Sean was having a pretty tough time and thinking some really dark thoughts. His parents were not handling the news well at all. Actually, Stan said, they were handling Sean's honesty in the fashion of his worst nightmares and premonitions of how he feared it just might go. After a bit, Sean apologetically said that his life for the first 20 years felt like an emotional, psychological version of the Thai soccer team. He said the first 10 years or so had passed so happily, exploring life blissfully unaware that brewing in his own soul, in his family system, was this storm that would eventually threaten to steal everything good that he knew. Somewhere around fifth grade, the said things began to change and this storm came. The path that once provided so much fun and good news and comfort began to flood. And eventually, deep in the cave of his own psyche and his sexuality, he realized that he was trapped, that he was cut off from those he loved the most. Isolated on this small shelf of semi-dry ground in the mine, just trying to survive the blackness and the cold and the hunger. And he went on to explain in acute and heartbreaking detail the darkness and the isolation and the deprivation that he endured the second 10 years of his life, through middle school and high school and the youth group at church. And the word picture of the Thai rescue was so vividly fitting as he painfully and eloquently wept through this story. And finally, he said there was no way out, and he had given up all faith when an interfaith college chaplain appeared in the darkness. And just like the two British divers who first discovered the boys, the chaplain came to him uninvited, but desperately hoped for. Sean told him that when he heard about that moment of first contact with the boys in the cave, he had some sense of that overwhelming relief that must have been experienced. He said he could remember everything about that grace-filled afternoon, its sights and its smells, its sounds. And he would never forget what he felt that moment when the chaplain showed up in his life, unannounced and unexpected, bringing with him the light and the hope and a promise that help was coming, that life wasn't over, and that he would one day, he could be out of his cave. I pray we keep learning. Paul himself had an amazing discovery experience, which you know totally changed his life, which brought him out of his own cave. His experience on that road to Damascus showed him the love of Christ, which freed him to be passionate about Jesus, which freed him to cross barriers and love with a passion he'd never known before. His writings, preserved today in our biblical text, reflect and try to communicate that wonder and that marvel at discovering the love of God, which just overwhelmed him, which adopted him and invites all of us to revel in that gift. The letter of Ephesians expresses it best this way. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he called you, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us. For Christ is the head of the church. Now, there are still so many that stay alive in the darkest of caves, hoping against hope that someday they might be free. And I join Stan Mitchell as he expressed, "My greatest sorrow is for those who we didn't get to in time, who died alone in that cave. We do what we can and we move on to the mouth of the next cave." And following this previous story, there was another story that was shared about a young woman who, after reading about Sean's experience, she decided to muster the courage and come out to her family. She said she'd always been, her parents were Methodist pastors, rural South, always been kind of in the middle on the sexual orientation, identity subject. She knew since she was a preteen that she was gay. So after sharing the post with her parents, hours passed and she received no response. She said she was so unsettled by their silence that she went out and took the dog for a 2-hour walk. And finally, about 8:30 that night, her parents, who live only a few miles, knocked on her door. And she said she knew it was them because her dad's distinct fun wrap on her frosted glass door. She was relieved for a bit that she had knocked the same way that he always did. And when she opened the door, there were her parents, who she said had always been delightfully cheesy. Her mom was carrying a backpack and wearing hiking boots. And her dad also carried hiking boots, a backpack and hiking boots, and had a helmet on. And as she stood speechless, her parents reached out and hugged her tightly. And her dad whispered in her ear, "We are coming to get you." Perhaps you're waiting to be rescued. Or you know others who wait. Can you hear those ancient words from Ephesians that absorb that you are a beloved child of God? That you have been adopted from the very beginning to be part of the church, to share this love and this grace and this compassion with others and gather together to share it. Arlington Church of the Brethren waits for pastoral leadership. And yet you have everything you need. You have been blessed with persons with incredible gifts. And you need one another and you need others to share this amazing love so that they too might be able to come out of their caves. And as you wait, be on the lookout for those who are longing for rescue. And share with them this love of Christ that always is demonstrated wherever he travels. It's an incredible blessing. This love of Christ can be shared in scriptures, but it's the living scripture which will impact our world. It is shared here. It is shared online. It is shared on the Dunker Punk podcast. And you are an amazing, creative bunch. As Christ's body, may each of you consider the many ways in which you and I are challenged to imagine how we might continue to share love and compassion, which has been planted from the very start. You are waiting, and you are blessed. May our eyes and our ears continue to be opened. Amen. May you go out knowing that you are blessed and you are a blessing. And you go as those who have been adopted, go to share that amazing love and go in Christ's peace. Amen.